Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right over there between the demo and the ready room. Every Friday they have an all-new music happy hour sponsored by Four Hands Brewery. 10% off any purchases, free beer for those of age. And new records coming in from G-Eazy, School of Rock, soundtrack on vinyl, and Jeff Buckley, You and I, and all kinds of other stuff. They always have their local music section, so you can go over there, check out some of your favorites from around town, get some vinyl, some tapes, some CDs even, all kinds of stuff. Check it out, 4191A Manchester Avenue. Online at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com. Hey everybody, it's Shane over here at Rock Paper Podcast. I wanted to tell you about my friends at cosmicstop.com. A brand new site just launched the other day, and it's got all kinds of cool rock and roll stickers and shirts and posters and all kinds of things going on. So if you go over there to cosmicstop.com, check out what they got going on. Stickers and shirts from Queen and Nirvana and Bowie, Allman Brothers, Jimi Hendrix, all of your favorites. So cosmicstop.com, and they also have an official Facebook and Twitter as well if you want to follow those. Thank you.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio, it's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Brandon Judd, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out with Brandon Judd. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me in the studio.
Yeah, appreciate it. Inside the Rock Paper Podcast studios here.
Which also happens to be my living room, coincidentally. Yeah. Like, I didn't know, I knew you had the podcast, but I didn't know you were doing it in here for, like, so long.
Right, yeah, we've been using your living room for a few months now, so.
Oh, good.
Appreciate you helping us out.
Hey, happy to do it.
Yeah, supporting the arts, man, that's what it's all about. But no, yeah, thanks for having us over here at your home and hanging out tonight, man. This is cool. But yeah, you've been a guy I've been following for a while. I've been involved in this St. Louis comedy scene for quite a while, and I remember I can't remember exactly when we met, but I
met you outside. I don't think I met you at a comedy show. I think I met you outside a band somewhere, but yeah. I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a hard time with some of this because I do meet a lot of people, and I'm just not. It's not like that. You know, didn't make an impression or any of that kind of. It's just my memory. But I remember. I remember faces and stuff. It's hard for me to remember names and all of it. But it all eventually all the pieces come together. But I do recall I was invited to be a quote-unquote celebrity judge of the Funny Bone comedy competition last year. I remember watching you as you were involved in that.
Yeah, what was your problem? I didn't win that. But
oh, yeah.
No, that was fine. I made the finals. That was all I wanted.
Yeah. It was weird, man. Like, I don't... I was happy to be included in it, but it wasn't like a real judging thing. I think, like, I was... You know, I was given like a piece of paper, and I think I just numbered like 1 to 10 or some kind of thing like that. I don't know. I thought it was more when I was invited. I was, and just because I
didn't know what I was getting myself into. But when I was invited, I thought it was going to be like, you know, Last Comic Standing, where I was going to be at the table or something like
that. Oh, and like giving like remarks and
stuff.
Yeah,
or something, you know, something like that to that extent. But
I think they used to do it that way.
Yeah.
I heard there's some stories about J.C. Sabala where I think one of the judges, it was another comic, she's like a national comic, I think, but I can't remember her name. But I wasn't here for it, but she said something to him like, I don't believe you've ever suffered, I think. Because, like, J.C. Sabala, I think he's a good-looking dude. Like, he works out, you know.
Right.
He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
And I think she sort of saw him as, like, this, like, pretty boy jock type, you know. And it's, like, it's just rough if you go up there and, like, tell stories about your life and then have someone say, like, I don't believe you.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Like, I don't know what kind of comeback you would have for that. Like, okay.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, that was, I mean, it was a good experience. I think I've kind of been talking to, I guess we're getting close to that time of the year again where, so I might be involved in this second year in a row now.
Yeah, I think that's coming up in May.
Yeah.
I think. Or it's usually like June-ish.
Right. But yeah, so I know that was one of, you know, I know we've known each other for a little while now, but like I said, that was, I remember watching you there and I've seen you do a few sets and stuff, but wanted to get to know you a little better.
Yeah.
So what so when did you you said you've only been in town in St. Louis here for like 4 years?
I've been in St. Louis 3 years.
3 years?
Well, I keep forgetting. It's hard to keep track. I feel like I moved in 2012, but no, I realize that's not true. I moved in 2013 because I started in 2012, so like I've been doing stand-up for like 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah, because I started in Central Illinois, and at that time I was a mortgage expert. Like I worked with a bank for like 5 years.
Yeah.
And like, boy, that is not a creative endeavor, like not at all. But I know how to do taxes really well, and I can do math really quickly, so that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I was pretty much sitting in my cubicle all the time. I was like, something's got to change. I got to do something different.
Right.
So, yeah.
And that's a lot of how I feel, man. I got my day job, and that's kind of what pushes me to do this show more and more because I'm kind of sick of my day job, and I want...
Yeah, and get out there.
Yeah. So, I'm trying to get out there more and create something else where I can eventually, you know, phase out the day job. So, but it's hard to step away from benefits and everything else.
Yeah, I got student loans. I get it. I get my cat's epileptic. I have to buy his medicine. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I gotta give him medicine twice a day. So
Henry Pollins?
Yep, Henry Pollins. He was in Cat Flag. They toured it, you know, throughout in the 80s. He wrote that book, Getting the Carrier.
Right.
I love it. Yeah, so, like, a lot of people get a cat because it's, like, you know, it's an animal that you care about, but then a cat you don't have to care about very much. And then I got a defective cat, but he's good.
Right.
I still love him.
Yeah. Yeah. So you, when's your first mic? You said you started over there in 2012-ish?
Yeah, that was in 2012. So I've been, for years, I've been sort of writing stuff. I mean, I grew up, I had this tape of a very well-known comedian who is now not very well-known for comedy. He's well-known for being a monster now. And, yeah, I would listen to that a lot. There was a great bit on there, but now it's shameful. So I still had an idea what comedy was, at least stand-up, I mean, as a kid. And then... my dad always watched Robin Williams specials, and I remember specifically having like a VHS copy of Robin Williams Live at the Met, I think is what it was called.
Right.
And I always thought it was weird because he had like a carriage in the background on stage, and like he would refer to it. I need to watch that again sometime because I probably haven't seen it in like 25 years, probably. So there's that. And then for several years, like I wanted to be in a band. That's what I wanted to do. And that's hence all the I have shitty punk rock tattoos. That's what I got,
right?
Because that's what I grew up on and loved. You know, I didn't have any musical ability at all. I had a guitar. I sucked at it. I couldn't figure it out. Like, because like the Ramones always said that you just needed a three chords, and it is goddamn hard to learn three chords. Right. Like, I just couldn't put it together. And then I booked bands in college, so I had some taste of that, because I was like, okay, well, if I can't perform, I'll handle the business end. And then I always, you know, thought about writing jokes. There's a long time ago. I still have Word documents from, like, back in college from, like, oh, I don't know, like 12 years ago of, like, where I was trying to write jokes. But then at the time, I didn't know what the hell I was going to do with them. Mm-hmm. You know, I just had them. And then when I lived in Central Illinois, I wrote with a friend. We wrote sketches and, like, dumb comic stuff with my friend Blake. And, like, we went to open mics and watched them and never went up, signed up, did anything. Didn't know what to do with them. And then finally, after a while, like, I was listening to so many podcasts with, like, comics on, and that's all talk and shop about comedy, pretty much. And it's always like, how did you get started? And, you know, it's okay. It's not a tired cliche, but, like, it's fine. Yeah, my friend had a music open mic, and I was like, hey, can I come up and try that out, just talking? And he was like, yeah, do whatever you want, man. I was like, cool. Well, I'm going to do it. So then I proceeded to drink at my apartment alone for like 4 hours about. Like, I was listening to, I remember I had just gotten like the Bad Religion vinyl box set. So it has all their albums in like one set. So I was working my way through that over like 4 hours, like just pounding drinks, turn records over, switching it out. And then I went out there and like, I don't even know what I was worried about. I mean, looking back on it now, because it's like, oh yeah, I had four things written on a piece of paper. And then, you know, that's going to fill, like, 30 seconds or something. Right. And then after a while, like, I was like, like, this is scary. And then I did it, and that sort of, like, broke the seal. And then the next week, I was back with, like, these are better jokes, I thought. And then did them. And then I just started trying to figure out, because I was like, oh, yeah, I have to find, like, an actual comedy open mic and try that. And so I did that. And then I started traveling to like Peoria, to the Jukebox for a little bit. And then we had a club in Springfield. It just reopened too. And now there's more open mics there, but at the time when I started out, there was maybe one or two I could get to a month. So like I couldn't like work on material or anything. So it was like really rough, but then everybody else is only working on comedy like once or twice a month too. So it's like, oh, everyone's not good, so we're okay, you know. Yeah. So that's kind of how that started.
So you get going. Is stand up was where you always wanted to be, or I mean, you said you were writing like sketch stuff. Is that? I mean, because I feel like as a comedian, like really, you have to. There's all these different avenues, you know. There's always. Like you said, the sketch, there's improv, there's stand-up, there's, you know, but is it, I mean, I feel like you have to do all of these things to, you know, at times, I mean, I know there's guys do one, but, you know, it's like, I feel like to keep working that muscle, you have to work all the different things. And
yeah, well, there's a lot of crossover now, too. Well, when I was working on stuff with my friend Blake, like, we did sketches. We talked about doing, like, this web series with, like, Tesla and Edison, but it's, like, the X-Files, so they're, like, a paranormal crime-solving duo, but it's Tesla and Edison. And it was just, it was full of dumb puns most of the time.
Right.
Because it was, like, and I always mess this up, it was, like, it was Edison. So, like, they're trying to break into this warehouse, and Tesla is, like, trying to find, like a way in, and then Edison says, I take a more direct approach. And then he just punches into the... It's dumb. Punches in the door. Like, it's so dumb. And, it was stuff... Like, they were putting stuff together and they were yelling at each other, like, what? 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 I'm sorry, are you saying what or what? Like, it's just... It was dumb puns all the way through, but I loved it.
Right.
And also, Tesla had, like, a thing for Edison. So he was always, like, hitting on him, too. So, because I don't know if Tesla was gay or not, but we just... For that story, we did that.
Right.
Yeah, that was fun. You know, I feel like I work really well with that guy. He's a good friend of mine. But I think I know the character of myself the best. And also, I always think that if I don't do something myself, then other people might let me down. So I always try to. So that's why stand up is so good, because it's solo. Like it's like I'm right there. You know.
For sure. Yeah, I've heard, you know, I've heard that similar message. You know, a lot of these guys, they was part of that thing where, you know, they work best, you know, doing their own. Doing their own thing sometimes, and so on, and stand-up, stand-ups,
obviously. Well, I've done with Sketchpad. Jason Flam is, he's a guy you might want to talk to. Yeah. He produces Sketchpad. Yeah, I've done a couple sketches with them, and that's really fun. Just because if you're not in, like, a group, like a sketch group or something, it's, if you write a sketch, I mean, you don't know what to do with it, really. And that's, like, a great, Sketchpad's a great name for it, because it's just something you just add to it, and you can try it out, and it's fun. Mm-hmm. I like it a lot.
You want to focus mostly on the stand-up then, I guess, for now? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what I've been doing mostly. I mean, just in the past few months, like, I finally locked down and was like, okay, stand-up is definitely a thing. It's more than a hobby. You know, I don't want to say money. I get compensation for some things, you know, right. So it's not bad. And then I was like, okay, well, this is what I'm doing. So I was like, how do I get these things? So, like, I mean, just in the next couple months, I think I booked, like, a dozen shows already. So, like, I'm, you know, really focusing on it more.
Sure.
And I'm going out for more festivals and stuff.
Yeah, it's got to feel good to fill up the calendar and stuff. And
yeah, I just launched a new website, like a month ago. And then I bought, like, the calendar plugin or whatever for it. And I put, like, one thing on there, and I was like, that's nice. And then I was like, oh, yeah, it's full. I have to update the calendar again.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Something. Yeah. Let's get some of these dates out there for you.
If you want.
While we're talking.
Well, there are a lot.
Yeah.
No, I
don't. you can see Brandon on March 9th at Helium Comedy Club.
Yeah, that's the that's the SmackDown show. So there's like heckling that's allowed. So I have to figure out how to deal with that.
Okay.
Which also, if you heckle at comedy shows, you're a terrible person. But there is a place for it, which is those SmackDown shows.
Right.
And the way it works is that there's a referee that keeps score between the audience and the comics. If the audience wins, then they get like passes to shows or something. If the comics win, we get paid. So
nice.
That one's going to be really fun.
Yeah, I've been hearing you mentioned podcasting and what the ones you've been listening to and stuff. But I hear like a lot of these guys will come on and promote their shows in you know, in LA and stuff, and like a lot of them have very different themes and stuff, and like it's cool to see different like themed kind of shows like that, you know. I'm glad that some stuff's kind of getting more. I know we've had some things like, you know, different bar shows like that, but it's always fun to mix it up a little bit and having these, you know, like I said, with the heckling involved and everything else, different shows like that. So,
oh, yeah, well, I'm terrified of it.
Yeah,
so we'll see.
I don't know, man. That's that's especially if you're not used to it. Like, I mean, some you got guys like, you know, Anthony Jeselnik or something, you know, those guys are so quick to fire back with something off of a heckle and stuff because they're, you know.
Yeah, I'll probably be fine. Yeah. I mean, I started out most of my stuff was like one-line things. One-line just dumb. I always call them dumb. I don't know. People enjoy it. We'll leave it at that. But, you know, I'm my own worst critic, so whenever I write something, I think it's dumb. So all of it's dumb. So.
We'll be at March 29th. You can see Brandon at the Heavy Anchor.
Yeah, that one's actually not stand up.
Okay.
That one's we're going to watch the movie Hackers from 1995.
Yeah.
Which holds a special place in my heart. I love that movie so much. So we're going to make fun of that movie while we watch it. And then there's a dance party afterwards featuring the soundtrack. We're going to try. I offered to buy the soundtrack on vinyl for it, just for that event.
Yeah.
Because I already collect vinyl anyway. And look it up. That soundtrack has never been pressed on vinyl. Oh. And I think that's a great crime. It is. Yeah. They've got The Prodigy, who were just about to release Firestarter, that single, just before The Fatherland in 97. which was a huge record
for
me. Because at that time, my favorite bands were Green Day and the Ramones. And then, how about this electronic thing? Like, it was so weird.
Yeah.
But you're a kid.
Is that so sort of so that'll be kind of like Mystery Science Theater kind of thing?
Yeah, I was trying to avoid saying that. It's okay. A total ripoff of Mystery Science Theater. I mean, it is.
That movie, it's the mystery. I never watched the series a whole lot, but that movie is one of my favorite movies, though. Like, it makes me laugh so hard, some of the stuff those guys put in there.
Oh, it's so good.
But, I stole...
Like, probably, a lot of that stuff probably shaped a lot of my comedy, I'm certain.
Sure.
With dumb puns, I'm certain.
Yeah. There's some stuff that still makes, you know, quotes into my daily routine of life, and there's that part where the plane scene or whatever, and he's like, there goes a stupid man, or what, he was like, I'm gonna crawl into his sock drawer and sleep for days. And like, so just
my favorite is, so I've seen, I don't think I've seen every episode. One time I downloaded a torrent, like, I don't know, it was like a 20 or 40 gig torrent of all of it, and even like the public access stuff that they had. There's this one movie called like The Final Sacrifice, and it's like this Canadian sort of MacGyver, and his name is Rousedower. And like the first, he introduces himself to the kid, and he goes like, "I'm Rousedower," or something like that. And then the retort is amazing. He's like, "So Rousedower, is that a stupid name or like?" And that makes me laugh so hard whenever I think about it all the time.
Yeah.
It makes me happy. Because it's so stupid.
you remember the in the movie when they had like those they were in there like those tubes?
No, I don't.
No, they were like in these.
That's the great tragedy of the whole thing, is that they have so much stuff out there, and I've seen so much of it that I don't remember what is what.
What's the actual movie? Is This Planet Earth or something like that? They made fun of.
Was it This Island Earth
or This Island or whatever it is? Yeah. Yeah,
I listen to Misfits too, so I know all those B movie titles.
Right, but there was a scene where there was these like they were like in these like tubes, and there's like this gas comes up, and they're supposed to like, you know, fall asleep kind of thing.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, I know that.
All right, yeah. And then there was a line where like you know, obviously there's just like smoke coming up, and then he's like whatever, I forget, you know, the Jan or whatever, like, Jan, I farted. And then and then she like looks over at him and he's like, I farted too, you know, or something like that. And,
okay, I remember
stuff like that. Movie is just so good. I mean, those guys, like, again, you know, huge part of my early taste of comedy as well. So
It was all Mystery Science Theater and The Simpsons, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what mine was.
I remember my friend Jeremy. We were, I used to hang out at his house a lot growing up, and we, the guy...
Was he a cool kid, and, like, your parents wouldn't let you do stuff, or how did that work?
No, I mean, we just were buddies, but we would go over to his next-door neighbor's David's house, and then he's the one who had Mystery Science Theater and Mallrats and stuff on VHS, so that's where I first started watching Mystery Science Theater. So.
Oh, man. Yeah. I still have my VHS tapes. I don't know how to play them currently.
I'm still holding on to my collection. Someday VHS will come back.
It'll come back?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, man, vinyl came back.
Yeah, but vinyl's really cool.
Tapes are coming back.
I'll show you after this. I have a huge record collection.
I've got quite the record collection myself.
Well, it's probably not as good as mine, so.
Yeah, no. Probably. I've got like a, nice, Extreme Elimination Challenge. You ever watch that show?
Yeah, well, oh yeah, MXC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got like a 8-hour long marathon recorded on tape, so hoping that can...
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, hopefully that will come back.
I've got VHS tapes from like MTV2. Whenever it was a new year, they would play all the videos in alphabetical order by song for like a week. And like I would try to figure out the playlist and try to figure out whenever certain songs might be on so I could record the video. And I just have like a tape. It's like 8 hours of just like cut like half videos and stuff. Like, oh, I was almost right. Like, I was trying to work out the time and everything. Like, I'd wake up at like 2 a.m, hit record the VCR, record for a half hour, and then like go back to bed and then like check it out and see what videos I got and be like, cool. This is before YouTube.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't.
Right.
Now it's just so easy. They're all out there. This tape is useless. I put all that work into that.
You're a pioneer, man. You,
Oh, there were other people doing that. I would record all the episodes of like 120 minutes and see what was on, you know?
So what was, you talking about some of your, punk rock stuff. It was Misfits and,
Oh, yeah. So, aside from comedy, like, the things I'm passionate about, I love punk rock. And when I say that, I always have to say, Ramones influence pop punk is my favorite. So I don't like Blink-182 or Good Charlotte. That was a big problem in high school, was trying to find identity whenever I was a punk rock guy. And then those bands were getting popular. And I was like, man, this sucks. Like, this is what you think I listen to? Or like, I remember there was this one girl, I said I listened to punk rock. And she was like, oh yeah, like Kid Rock. And I was
Kid Rock.
No, that doesn't fit. Like, it's not like that. But then anything, like, nowadays, if you say, like, what you listen to, like, oh, I like to listen to rock. It was like, okay, is that Creed or Tom Petty?
Yeah.
Is that Coldplay? Like, I don't know what that word means anymore.
Yeah, there's...
I was a little punk rocker since...
I think with any of those genres, I mean, there's so much crossover and everything.
Crossover, like, and then there's also a lot of things that are getting very specific, too. Because, like, people will tell me, like, oh, there's, like... post-rock, and then, like, there's hardcore, and there's post-hardcore, and there's, like, a post-rock hardcore, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's cool, that's hardcore music without vocals, and I was like, I don't understand. Like, it loses me now.
Yeah.
Now that I'm older, like, I'm not going around calling people posers or anything anymore, because I was just a dumb kid, you know? All right. Yeah, all the music, man, that's, like I said, that's the other thing that I'm passionate about, is just, there's nothing I love more than just sitting down, putting a record on, and just kind of sitting and doing nothing. Right. It's my favorite thing to do. It's what I did all through junior high into high school. So I did that. I don't know if it's nostalgia or not. I don't listen to a lot of new bands.
Yeah.
I'm so slow. Like, the newest band I'm listening to right now is Ghost. Have you heard them? They were at the pageant back in October.
Yeah, they did a Point Fest a year ago or something, I think.
Yeah, too. See, I didn't even know about them then.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would have, like, died to go there.
Yeah.
Because I like their aesthetic. It's fake Satanism, which I think is hilarious all the time. With that, I had a friend. I went to see, this was 15 years ago, I went to see Weezer with Tenacious D and Jimmy Eat World. And my friend at the time was super Christian. Didn't watch Tenacious D because he thought they were actually satanic. And I was like, I don't understand. This is great. That was a great show. That was in Bloomington, Illinois, Rubber Arena. That was amazing. But Ghosts, they don't tell people their identities, so there's some mystery to it. I know which bands they came from, so I know who they are. Like, if you do a quick Google search, you can figure it out.
Sure.
But I saw that with Paget, and I was like, this is fucking great. I love it. I was watching my language up until now because I realized I was on the radio last night, and then today, I don't have to care about that.
Right? There's no rules here.
I did. No, I bought a ticket. I'm going to drive like 3 hours away in April to go see him again
because
I was like, I love this band.
You know? There's a band I like called Here Come the Mummies.
Yeah, they don't tell people their identities.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you...
Actually, I'm seeing them, I'm not seeing them. Ghost is playing one of the venues that I saw Here Come the Mummies at in Bloomington, Illinois.
Okay.
My friend works there. It's Castle Theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, but I love the Mummies, but I love that they maintain that story that they're really mummies and stuff, and like, it's fun.
Oh, I love it so much. Actually, they're people that I try to figure out.
You can find out a lot. I mean, obviously...
a little bit. It's like them in the residence and stuff, trying to figure out who's in those bands.
There's a guy in the band that's... I forget his name, what mummy he is, but I think... anyway, whatever. But If you look like his name up, like his like the end of his mummy name is like in his real name, and then he's like he also has like
oh he wanted people to know
he also has like the really long dreads and stuff. So like it's kind of like
oh he's got a signature look.
Yeah, so yeah. It's easy to put that one together. But the rest of the guys, I'm not sure about. But yeah, anyway, yeah, it's fun, man. Just to kind of create that mystique of sorts or whatever it is. You said Tenacious D, and made me think. I saw those guys at the pageant last time they were through, and actually I met them at Vintage Vinyl and got my Rise of the Phoenix vinyl signed.
Oh, nice. Rise of the Phoenix was great.
Yeah,
I love the artwork on that.
Yeah, right.
That was just the bird that was just a big cock.
Yeah, right.
That was so good.
Yeah, one, that was the whole thing. I was spelling Phoenix Phoenix too, so it even spelled like penis.
And that makes me think of Phoenix TX, which takes me back to the days of being in a pop punk and trying to explain to people that you didn't like the Charlotte. It was terrible.
At the show at the pageant, they had the Phoenix all in the back of the show there, and for the right before the finale of the show, before they came out for the encore, they like ejaculated these little sperms all over the crowd, little paper sperms.
Solid.
Yeah, out of the Phoenix, and then the Phoenix went down, and then like they Kyle and Jack like walked out of the Phoenix, and it looked like a big vagina then, and then like they were like, "Ooh, it's hot in there," and like. It just cracked me up. Yeah. Like it was just like.
Well, I've seen Guar like 3 or 4 times now, and I'm no stranger to bodily fluids, fake bodily fluids.
Yeah, those guys. I've never seen Guar, but they seem
really. Like you should. It's a great trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
I know they've done some stuff over Pops and things, and I don't know. Yeah, I never made it over there. I remember seeing those guys like on Jerry Springer and stuff.
Back in the day?
Yeah.
That's when they were talking about how there were legit... I can't remember if it was Springer that I was watching or if it was an episode of Geraldo Rivera. It might be just a mishmash of my memories, but they were on there. There were some other people on there who were actual assholes. Like, real... Not evil people. I think they probably think of themselves as performance artists, but they're just... terrible people.
Yeah.
And they were being... Guar was being compared to those people, and Guar was like, what harm are we doing? These are foam swords and fake blood. Like, right. We're not actually going to hurt people. Like, that was the whole thing.
Right.
But then I'm also a fan of G.G. Allin, so it's like, nah, I don't know where my morals are. I have no idea.
What was your first CD you picked up?
Well, I had... Here's the tapes I remember. So yeah, I had that one tape of the comedian who is very rightly so hated now. And then I had a tape. It was Fine Young Cannibal, She Drives Me Crazy. It was the single. I listened to that a lot. And then I had the Green Day tape, Dookie. I had the blue tape from like Reprise Records, Warner Brothers, whatever. I had that. That was great. That was like... pretty much most of my music collection for a while. I had Michael Jackson's Bad. Oh, I had several Weird Al tapes, because why would you not? He's fucking amazing. I had that. And then I think the first CD I ever bought... So I was on analog tapes until... my brother had... he had CDs, and every now and then I would go through a CD collection. So I would play Doom on the computer and listen to music. And he had Green Day's Kerplunk. So I'd listen to that CD and play Doom, which I have Kerplunk tattooed on my arm now. I've got the girl from the cover art. I mean, that meant a lot to me. There was that. Now I'm being wistful. But there was, I don't want to skip any of the embarrassing stuff. So my first concert was MC Hammer. Tapes, one of the last tapes I ever had was TLC's Crazy Sexy Cool. Great album.
Yeah.
Really great. Right now, if I listen to it, I'm like, I was a kid, what was I doing? But it's great, right? Yeah. I think it's great.
Sure.
It's got all the hits. It's got Waterfalls. It's got Creep.
Yeah.
What is it? Red Light Special is on there. You know, it's got all the hits.
Yeah.
There was that. But first CD, I didn't move to CD until 97. It was Prodigy Fat Lamp. That was, I got that CD. And I just fell in love with that band. They're so good.
But, so they had that one. Did they have Smack My Bitch Up on that one
too? Yeah, that's the opening track.
And then Firestarter was on there.
Yep, that's the eighth track.
Yeah,
I can remember it all. I listened to it so much.
Yeah,
I got all that vinyl now. It's so good. I did then, and then so I was already into like Green Day and the Ramones, and I was only into the Ramones because I had a crush on a girl, real hard. She was a punk rock girl. She was beautiful. We're friends on Facebook, so it's not that weird. But I think sometime a long time ago via social media, I think I sent her a message and just said, "Hey, I wanted to thank you for, you know, I had a crush on you, or whatever." And she was like, "I seem to remember that." I was like, "You do? Let's get married." No, I didn't do that. But it was like, she's married now. I think she just had a kid. I don't know. But, yeah, I just sort of said, you know, thank you, I'm happy I found all this, because my life would have gone the same direction if I didn't have that. And I was like, hey, I've got these, like, band tattoos now from, like, all these bands, and, like, I wouldn't have heard about them if you weren't wearing their shirts, like, in school. I remember she was wearing, so I have a Queers tattoo. That's for the Queers. It's the Felix logo.
Oh, yeah.
I've got more on that later, but, I forget. Oh, I remember she was telling me about, so in junior high, she was in 8th grade, I think I was in 7th grade, and she got in trouble for wearing a queer shirt to school, said the Queers, and our principal was a slow-talking idiot. I remember him that way. I can't remember his name, but he said to her, he said, "Well, I just find it offensive," and then she said, "Punk rock fashion." This is how I remember it. It could be fake. I don't know. She said, "Well, are you a queer?" And I was like, "That's so cool." Oh, she's so cool. That is. I had a crazy crush on this girl.
Yeah.
No, but most of the tattoos I got after. So I have like 10 punk rock tattoos. They're all band logos. Most of the logos I got were after the band had been broken up for a long time. And since I've gotten the tattoos, I haven't got a tattoo in like 6 years probably. I think all of them have gotten back together besides the Ramones. And some of them have gotten back together and done some embarrassing things. And I'm like, because like the Queers, like the lead singer Joe Queer, like whenever all this, everything was happening with Ferguson here. And he said some stuff I do not agree with. He said some very bad things. Yeah. And I was like, God damn it. Well, now it's just a cat tattoo, you know? But
yeah,
that's what I'm stuck with.
So you think being tattooed on your skin that might bring them together? So maybe if we tattoo some more bands on there, it might work?
Maybe. I mean, I think if they're fresh, I should get a David Bowie tattoo and see what happens.
Yeah.
Because I'd love to see him again. Otherwise, I'm just going to see him on, like, Ghost Hunters or something.
Right.
You know. Maybe as a cameo.
Yeah. What's your favorite concert memory?
Man. All right. MC Hammer, when I was 5, was awesome.
Yeah.
That was great. Let's see. What's the best?
Not to cut you off, but did you write up along the lines of MC Hammer? I just saw announced for 2 nights in Michigan, they're doing Vanilla Ice, Salt and Pepper with Spinderella.
Oh, amazing.
Rob Bass.
Well, everything that you want.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be great.
Oh, Tone Loc. And somebody, probably something else.
Oh, that would be amazing.
This is like just these 2 nights with the.
Well, here's the thing on that show. So if I Google it and try to look up like the tour from that time, I saw MC Hammer on the tour that Vanilla Ice was opening for him. at least what I can find info-wise, but I don't remember Vanilla Ice, seeing Vanilla Ice at all.
Right.
Like, I don't know if that happened or if we came late. I remember the dancers a little bit, but I was five, so I don't know.
Sure.
Best show I've ever been to was probably, I think it was at Pops, it was like 2004. I saw headlining was Dillinger Escape Plan. It was Every Time I Die, Zayo, and Misery Signals. So I still remember all that. Oh, and also opening for them was, I think, a band that was local to here for a while, Bad Acid Trip. Have you ever heard of them?
No.
I had to look them up. I might have some of their music. For me, it was terrible. That band was terrible. I don't know if anyone that I know now was in that band. Sorry, that was a terrible band. but they opened that show, and they were so out of place from what that music was that it was like, why are you here? And then Misery Signals, I had never heard of. They were great. And at the time, so it was 2004. I was in college. I had just gotten into hardcore music via Thursday, the band Thursday. They're not really a hardcore band, but they're kind of, I don't know, people describe it as emo, whatever. I love that band. Did that, and then several of my friends were into, even in my hometown, they were into Christian hardcore. So Zayo was a band I had always heard about, and so I listened to them a bit, and I really liked Zayo a lot, and they had just sort of reformed, put out a new album, so I got to see them live, and that was great. And that was my first taste of Every Time I Die live, because I love Every Time I Die so much. Because like that was just after like Hot Damn came out. Since I've seen Every Time I Die so many times since then, I've never seen a set like what they put on then, because they've had newer albums come out. They're not doing a bunch of the old stuff like they used to, which is fine. I think they're still really good. And then Dillinger Escape Plan was amazing live, and I remember I was right up front, and they had their own sort of like makeshift lights that like a roadie had made or something, and like they kept getting kicked over, and I got hot glue thrown on my arm, and like I had like burns on my arm, and I was like, this is awesome. I love it. My arm hurts so much. That's one of the best things I've ever seen. More recently, I saw They Might Be Giants at the Pageant, and they played two sets, and that was amazing.
Yeah. Might that be a good one?
That wasn't the first time I burned my arm at a show. I was part of the booking organization at my college, in Decatur, Illinois. And I won't say the university because they won't give me a refund. We had booked, we did an annual thing called Bounce Fest, and that was about a dozen bands, and then outdoors, like a bounce house and a bounce castle, stuff like that. And we got lucky, the tour, again, sign of the time, hardcore music at the time, it was Fear Before the March of Flames with Norma Jean and Evergreen Terrace. So, and this is just after, so at the time, Norma Jean had just that one album out, Bless the Martyr, Kiss the Child, and then this was post, a lot of people don't know about Norma Jean, is that they started out as sort of like a Limp Bizkit called Ludacris, which I think you can still find on Spotify, and it's hilarious to listen to now, because they had a DJ and everything, but I was working security at that show, because I had helped put it on and everything, and right of it, they opened with, I think The Shotgun Message was the name of the song. And just right on the downbeat, so my arms are up because we decided the show would be, I think we either charged $1 or it was free. So there were several hundred people there to see this like package tour. And just before the bands were going on, security at the college wanted to shut it down. And we were like, well, that's a dumb idea because a lot of people came for this. So we went out, we picked up all the stuff that wasn't bolted down, trash cans, benches, stuff like that, moved it all in one spot. So I guess if people rided, they could get to it easier because they knew where it was. and then I remember security asked our sound guy if they wanted him to shut the sound down. And then the sound guy from the board said, oh, that's not how that works. I can't just turn it off from here. I mean, there's a lot of stuff up there. Thankfully, security was dumb. So show goes on. So right on the downbeat of this song, I'm right next to the stage, and I have my arms up because I've been working security, but I'm a kid too, and I'm enjoying the show.
Right.
People are pushing on me, so I have my arms up. Right on the downbeat, they didn't even tell us, there's a guy fire breathing. So, like, my arms are up, and I get hit, I feel heat, And then I realized that all the arm is burned off, all the hair is burned off my arm from this fire breather. And that was one of the coolest things like I've ever seen or experienced. Yeah. It was so awesome.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's rock and roll.
Oh, yeah. It totally was. I know this has mostly been about music, but man, I fucking love music.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm very passionate about music myself, so I mean, that's the fun of these, man. Like, there's no rules, there's no... I don't even like preparing much because I like to...
Oh, wait, after this I'll show you some records and then my sweet Lego collection.
All right, now we're talking. But I like just seeing what happens, you know, naturally, see what, you know, organic, see what happens. But yeah, man. I did put your picture up online.
Oh.
And
wait, from right here when I'm sitting on my couch?
No, from earlier.
I mean, you can. It happens.
But I had asked some of your friends see if they had any questions for you, and got some response. So, care to answer some of these questions?
Oh, okay. All right. So I'll pull the wool back a little, or pull the curtain back a little. Okay. Yeah. I've seen some of these, but that's okay.
Right.
I responded to some immediately.
Yeah.
Because I was like, come on. Because I was talking with Ryan Wasoba. Have you talked to him at all?
No.
Or you know he was in So Many Dynamos?
No.
No. Do you know So Many Dynamos?
Yeah. Well, I know.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're good. I think he runs his own studio now, but he's a good guy to talk to.
Okay.
If you want to talk to him.
Jeremy answered first. He said he wants me to tell you he says hi.
Oh, hey, Jeremy.
So hey, Jeremy.
How are you? I hope your marriage is well.
Yeah.
I just saw him a few days ago.
Okay.
He's fine. I'm certain it's good.
But Ryan, you mentioned, he asked him about his shitty tattoos. We've kind of talked about some.
We
of them
did. So I can elaborate more. So here's what I've got. So I've got on my left arm, I've got Misfits, Black Flag, the cover of Bad Religion, Suffer, and a Descendants logo, Milo. And also, like I said, I was a mortgage expert for a while. So in the office, this was Dilbert.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So that's what that was. My first tattoo I got was after a year of being in college. I have a Ramones back tattoo. I have the full logo on my back. I don't know if I regret these things, but I love them
right.
So much. And then on my right arm is my Ramones influenced pop punk. It's all bands from Lookout Records. So I've got Green Day's Kerplunk, The Queers, The Weasel from Screeching Weasel, and then I have a 27 for the Riverdales, which a lot of people ask me what the 27 is. Some people think, I hear it's Johnny Peralta. Is that correct?
Yeah.
You're wearing a Cardinals hat. That's
well, I'm a Cardinal fan. I'll go to a couple of games, but I'm not a... Yeah, but I believe that is accurate. I just more wear the hat because of St. Louis. So.
I don't know. Sometimes people ask me, I guess it's the number of a soccer player too, with like similar colors, but I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Usually, so it's a 27. It's got some red in it, and a lot of times if people ask me what it is, I say it's my fire engine company number. They're like, oh my God, I didn't know you were a firefighter. And I was like, yeah, well, tattoos are permanent, jobs aren't. So, it's kind of a sour taste. But I got that, and then probably the most interesting tattoo I have is on my ankle. So we don't have visual aids for people, but I'm showing Shane in person here.
Yeah.
So that's an XO on my ankle there that was done with safety pen and India ink. And this was done when I should have known better. But if you look, a lot of people I went to college with, so there was this band that our friends were in called Secretary. Excuse me. And it was this experimental hardcore band, which just means they had a keyboard. And that's pretty much it. But they moved to L.A., and then on their first tour back stop back in Decatur, like 24 of us, something like that. I'm not sure on the real number. We all decided to commemorate it. So now I still run into people. There's still like a couple dozen people who have this XO tattoo, so we just did it all. There's people in St. Louis, too, that have it that I run into sometimes. Because I'm like, hey, cool. You know, it's like a fun club thing.
Pin 15?
But it was like, oh, man. You know, I've thought about getting gum tattoos, and I might join the Pen 15 Club at someday.
Yeah.
It depends. I still haven't figured out what I want to do with my life exactly. But, so yeah, ask me about shitty tattoos. I picked out all my tattoos, almost all of them. I picked out the bulk of them when I was 13, and just when I got old enough to get tattoos, I just started getting them. That was it.
Right.
Yeah, so like, I'm still, even now, let's transpose it, I'm not 13 anymore, I'm 31, and I still love them. I think I look cool. I like to think that.
Yeah.
But then I don't know, other people see them. Now everybody has tattoos, so it's not, like, I mean, you don't, I don't think, right?
I don't have anything, no.
No, you haven't gotten inked up yet?
Yeah.
It's a fun experience. I don't know. I have plans. I have plans drawn up for full sleeves, too, that incorporate all this that I already have, and I just haven't put it into action. Plus, it's pricey.
Yeah. My buddy Brandon's got two sleeves.
His name's like my name.
Yeah. And we went to, he did some work down in North Carolina when he was stationed down there with the military, and then when, so he was back here in St. Louis, and he wanted to go get the last half of his sleeve from the elbow to the wrist done, and so he asked if anybody wanted to go, and so I'm like, all right, man, I'll go. And so we road tripped it down to North Carolina, and he laid there and getting tattooed. I think it was like 8 hours or something like that to do.
Oh, that's a long session.
Do that part, yeah.
The one on my back was like 2 4-hour sessions.
Yeah, he did it all
over
in one.
Two nights. Yeah,
and so I had like 8 hours or whatever it was to kill in this town, and I started walking around. Luckily, I had found like a little record store, kind of. I forget what his name, but it was like a kind of like a, you know, Slackers or whatever type of deal, kind of used records and stuff. Yeah. And I was kind of browsing.
I'll spend hours at those places.
Sure, yeah, I was kind of browsing through there, and but they had like a lot of, you know, books and movies and everything else too. And so I'm kind of hanging out in there for a while, and then like I'm just cruising the strip there, and it literally, since it's this military town, it's like all fast food or strip clubs. And
I mean, they're the necessities.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
That's what you got.
And
or wait, were you in Sage?
No,
this was, it wasn't East St. Louis.
Yeah, no, this is North Carolina. Yeah. There was a place called Wiener's, and I was
that fast food or a strip club?
That was the $1 million question. I was interested. I was wondering which one it was. So it was either it could have been a little bit of both. You know, you never know. So, but
well, I've always been. I used to work with somebody who said, you know, have you ever eaten the Chinese food at a strip club? And I thought it was a setup for like a joke. So I was like, that's such a ridiculous phrase.
Right.
And she was like, she was talking about some strip club around here at the time. But she was like, oh, the food's amazing. And I was like, what? I've never had food in a strip club. I didn't know that some strip clubs serve food. Apparently they do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Somebody else was trying to tell me that there was like a good steak at this strip club or something. I was like, I don't know about all that, but I'll take your word for it. Did you see that clip of John Oliver that's been going around on Facebook?
Is it with Trump?
Yeah.
Is it that thing?
Yeah. Well, there was like something in that they said something about.
Well, Shane, as a staunch Trump supporter, I really don't think it's appropriate.
No. They even referenced it on that clip. There was like, you know, it looks appealing or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, like, yeah, they did.
Like
yeah.
A buffet at a strip club or something like
That's
that.
That's the thing I'm trying to figure out. Is that a thing? I mean, I used to stop at a truck stop called the Dixie. It's near where I grew up. It's near Lincoln, Illinois. I forget the name of the town that's actually in. But that place has a buffet. And one time I stopped there after like a night of drinking in Bloomington, Illinois, because it's on the way.
Yeah.
And just, I ate there and then walked outside and I threw up in like 3 different garbage cans. So I was like, avoid that. That's even a restaurant. So I don't even know if I would trust a strip club with food. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I'm sure just as many truckers as have been there too, so I have no idea. This is where I start talking bad about truckers, but my grandfather was a trucker, so.
I thought this was an interesting question from Justin. He wrote, F, marry, kill. as Howard Stern would always say it, since he couldn't say fuck, marry, kill on radio. But
sure.
Fuck, marry, kill, striker, Spurlock, a garbage can that is on fire, and is it Michael Dukakis?
Michael Dukakis. So this is a
running Michael Dukakis khakis. Sorry, I had to specify it.
Right, right. Okay, so Michael Dukakis, the failed Democratic presidential candidate, also referenced in Donnie Darko. Yeah, so I found a picture of Michael Dukakis wearing khakis, and I think it's hilarious. So my support in 2016 falls squarely behind Michael Dukakis wearing his Dukakis. So that's what I'm keeping that going. I post that maybe once a week just to see what happens. I will say I get more hate if I say that I'm going to support Hillary Clinton than I do if I'm supporting someone who is not running for president.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means. It's weird. The internet's weird. All right, so fuck, marry, kill. All right, I killed Stryker. I would marry Michael Dukakis, and because I think he would wear his Dukakis to the wedding. And I just want to see those in person. If I had not found that picture on Google image search, I would have never mentioned it. But the garbage can, that means I have to fuck the garbage can on fire, which I've had a crazy person for a girlfriend before, so the garbage can on fire is fine. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
And also, you know, I told you how fun it was to get my arm burned repeatedly. So the garbage can on fire, solid fuck.
Sure.
Because it's so hot.
Yeah.
That's so dumb.
Chris Ward asked his favorite thing about someday moving back to Springfield, Illinois.
Boy, well, I'm not gonna, but what would my favorite thing be? My favorite thing that happened that I like there, is that, there's a Chinese buffet there that I love. I love Chinese buffets, whenever I was in a serious bout of depression, I would go there every day, and I would get 2 or 3 pounds of food. I know that because they waited to go. One day, I showed up early. So they opened at 10:30, and one day I was there at like 10. I guess I didn't have anything to do. And the lady kept coming over to me and saying, "Oh, I'm very sorry, very sorry." And then in my head, I'm like, "You guys aren't even open. I don't care. I don't even know why you let me in," because I'm just sitting there waiting while they set up the buffet. And then I go to check out. Like, I'm obviously the first one there. Everything is fresh. Clear red flag of, like, why are you doing this to your body all the time? So I go up to checkout, and they run everything, and it's the normal thing. And then the lady says, "Oh, very sorry for your wait." And they gave me, like, a free egg roll and something else, right? And I was like, that's sweet. So then every day the rest of the time I went there, I showed up at 10 o'clock. Because I was like, yeah, free. And they kept giving me free stuff. And I was like, this is awesome. So someday I'd like to go in there again and show up early. The lady's not. But I hope she recognizes me. And then I'll check out. And then she'll offer me the free egg roll for being there early. And I'll say, no thanks, you keep it. And then move on. Just to show that things have improved in my life that much.
Right. I've got things going on in my life now. I don't...
Yeah.
You keep that free egg roll.
That would be it. That's a good indicator.
Yeah. R. Alan Knight wants to know, how often does he examine himself for testicular cancer?
R. Allen, the king of trying to make a joke that's unrelated to anything else. Sorry, R. Allen. He's very nice. I hugged his daughter once at the contest at the Funny Bone last year. I had free tickets to give out, and that was where I met R. Allen Knight, because I think he's related somehow to Andy Knight, who is a guy that comes to a lot of shows, and I like him. I consider him a friend, though we don't hang out or anything. It's more like professional. But anyway, R. Allen Knight brought his daughter. And I had said that I would give anyone who came and claimed a ticket a free hug. So I hugged that guy's daughter. Now, do I check myself for testicular cancer? Inadvertently, most of the time.
Michael wants to know, why in high school he refused to wear jeans and what he did with all his cargo khakis.
Mike, what's Michael's last name?
Hickman.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Wow. That was unexpected. I've always had... So, Mike Hickman. I didn't know him as Michael then.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's married now, so I guess it's Michael. Mike was one of my friends. He was a guy. He moved to our town, I think maybe my junior year of high school, maybe sophomore. Anyway, it was obviously... The first time I saw him, he walked into my math class, and he was wearing a NoFX shirt. And I think I was probably wearing, like, a Green Day or whatever, Bad Religion shirt, something. So, right. Immediately, it was like that thing whenever it's like, oh, I'm an outcast here. And then, like, oh, another one. All right, cool. Well, we're going to hang out. We did... Yeah, so we hung out with punk rock stuff. Anyway, yeah, I for some reason, I refused to wear jeans for a long time, until midway through college, I think. So it was always cargo pants, cargo shorts, all the time. I don't know why. Just a weird kid. Even into being an adult, I was just weird. I'm still weird about that stuff now. I'm like, I don't wear hats. I can't wear a hat. It makes me feel like I'm suffocating. And jeans did that, too.
Huh.
I don't know.
Well, you seem to have conquered your...
What was the other thing? That was like a two-part question, wasn't it?
He said why you didn't wear jeans and what you did with all your cargo khakis.
Oh, they're all gone.
Yeah.
I gave them to Michael Dukakis because he can wear them during the winter.
Right.
Or summer. I don't know what day.
Well, man, this has been a lot of fun. I thank you so much for doing this, man.
Yeah, man. No, I appreciate you coming out. Into the studio, my living room.
Yeah, for sure.
I should have gotten a fire going while this was happening.
Yeah, that would have...
I should have moved the most expensive things that I own into this room, and then so you could have been like, wow, this guy's rich. But then I would have shown you like two cats.
Right. you can follow Brandon. What do you got? Your Twitter?
Twitter, Facebook, it's all Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's all Judgment with two D's. So is my last name, Jement. Jement. There's only one E in the correct way to spell Judgment. Right. Just saying that. Dictionary will say both are acceptable, but there's only one way to do it. So that's how you do it.
And you can see him live at Helium on March 9th, Heavy Anchor 29th. And then in April, the 1st at R Bar, the 3rd at Rose Music Hall in Columbia, the 5th, is that the 15th at Crack Fox?
Yeah, that's Impolite Company, that's Chris Shear's show, that's a fun show. That one, it's themed, it's going to be one-liners. He said I didn't have to do the theme, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do one-liners for, I don't know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, we'll see. I'll try it. Before that, sorry.
That's a lot of one-liners, man.
I got them. They're around. They're just laying around. I just got to pick them up.
Right.
Put them out there. Yeah. Wow. Before that, this is a lot coming up. On the 10th of April, I'll be at Pat Connolly's Tavern with Two Girls and One Mic. That's the show that Emily Hickner and Tina D-Ball host. So that should be fun.
And I thought this was interesting. It says... April 23rd, you're at Tuscan Hills Winery?
Tuscan Hills Winery in Effingham, Illinois.
I haven't heard a lot of comedy at the winery.
Oh, yeah. Amber Clear puts that together. I've known her since I started. I don't know anything about that show, really.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to be there.
Yeah. That sounds
Plus, fun. I asked her if there were any content restrictions, and she said, no, just remember you got a winery. And right. I'm like, I don't know what that means. Like... I don't know when I'm going on exactly, so I don't know how much wine has been consumed before it does what I said.
Sure.
So it's scary.
All right, man. Well, I guess we'll close this thing out. So again, come out, see Brandon live, follow him on Twitter, and
do it up. Follow my Instagram if you like cat pictures.
Yeah, who doesn't like a good cat picture?
Monsters.
Yeah, you monsters.
Elf.
Yeah,
or you might like the picture.
That was actually I do this little daily crossword thing, you know, and is like...
That's the nerdiest thing I've ever heard.
Well, hey.
No, man. I'm kidding. I love puzzles.
Yeah. But the clue, the, you know, the whatever, crossword clue was this, whatever, this show was based around the main character ate cats or something like that. Like, and I was like...
Yeah. Elf.
Yeah.
Pussy eater.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I was like, that's one of the scariest things I've ever heard.
What's terrifying for me being a cat lover.
But yeah, all right, buddy. Thanks again. We'll see you soon.
Thank you. I hope. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.